We invite you to visit Maserati Jacksonville today for a personalized luxury driving experience like no other. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of our historically low interest rates. Visit online at MaseratiJacksonville.com.
Now,
Helmets and Heels,
driven by Tire Outlet,
brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
and Renewal by Anderson on 1010XL.
Now your hosts,
Lauren Brooks, Donna Murphy, Taylor Dahl, and Mia O'Brien.
Well, everyone, we are in studio tonight and next Tuesday, but then we are live at Black Sheep. I've had a lot of people ask when we're back out on the road.
Ooh.
It will be Black Sheep November 9th, and a certain former NFL head coach will join us that night, right, Taylor?
Yes. We got Coach Dave Campo coming to join us, which I'm pumped about because obviously you hear him on XL Primetime, and he does the podcast with Joe. With Joe Cower, but every time Campo's in here, I love listening to everything he has to say. So I'm excited that we get to ask all the questions at this time.
Absolutely. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Donna, you predicted before the season began that the Jacksonville Jaguars, or at least right when the season began, that the Jacksonville Jaguars would beat the Seahawks on the road in week 8. How good do you feel about that prediction right now?
I feel pretty good. Especially with how crappy they looked last night. And it makes me so happy. I had Frank come in my office today, and he's headed over to Seattle on Friday. And I said, do me a favor, Frank. When you get off the plane and you get to the stadium, go on the sidelines and do one thing for me. He goes, what? I go, punch Pete Carroll in the face.
That's all.
That's all.
Easy. It's easy.
Because why?
But did you also know when you predicted that indeed Geno Smith would potentially be the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks when you made that prediction? That's the wild part.
Speaking of broken jaws.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Well, the crazy part is that Russell Wilson had never missed a regular season games in a decade.
It's crazy.
How is that possible?
I had not known that.
No, I don't know how that stat flew under the radar for as long as it did because – I mean, that's some Lou Gehrig, Cal Ripken stuff right there.
No, and it's nice to see him still out there, though, doing his warm-ups. With his tape.
He said he's going to be, like, in marathon shape.
Right.
He's running, like, sprints, full sprints and, like, full miles on the field. So at least he can run a marathon. He won't have a finger, but, hey, at least he can run a marathon.
I don't know.
You don't have to have all of your fingers perfect to run a marathon.
Yeah,
not that
exactly.
I've run a marathon, even though I have a crooked finger. But, Donna, can you remind people why you hate Pete Carroll?
He just has a punchable face. I don't like him.
My mom loves the way Pete Carroll looks, so she totally disagrees with you.
Look, I don't like a man who was coaching at USC and figured out, oh boy, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble if I stay here. So you know what? I'm going to hightail it and leave this university in a lot of trouble and head to the NFL. So peace out, guys. And that's what he did. And he's a big coward to me. And that's exactly what he did.
I also want you to Google the following, Donna. Wisconsin, Zach Showalter. That's the most punchable face in sports.
Okay.
Just wanted to get that one out there. Because when you said punchable face, I'm like, okay, Pete Carroll, really?
And he chews gum. And I got something with me and
Kirk
chewing
Ferentz
gum.
Kirk Ferentz chews gum.
I just don't like it. It's gum smacking, chewing, and it's
I don't think he has a punchable face, but I do agree with your notion of, like, this guy left to essentially escape further wrath by the NCAA.
A coward.
To then go to Seattle, which, let's be real, I mean, Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. They had given money to another veteran backup quarterback, a la a Nick Foles situation, for lack of a better, you know, term. And they got lucky that he panned out because otherwise, I mean.
Well, and even Pete Carroll admitted, I think it was today, he came out and admitted that he wouldn't still be at Seattle if it wasn't for Russell Wilson's success. Yeah. Like, he wouldn't be successful if it wasn't for Russell Wilson.
And I think there's a lot of coaches who could say that about the quarterbacks. And let's hope that one day Urban Meyer says, I wouldn't have been successful without Trevor Lawrence. All right, Mia, what do you think the chances are of the Jaguars beating the Seahawks in Seattle?
You know, I actually think it's pretty good. I think the Jags have gone 3-13 in their last 16 West Coast trips. Two of those three wins, though, have come since I was here. So for anyone who thinks that I'm a jinx since I arrived in Jacksonville because it was right on the heels of 2017, they do very well on the West Coast since I moved here. So I'm
Don't worry, man. No one thinks that.
Numbers never lie. Numbers never lie. That's a tough trip. I'm not sure yet if the team is leaving Friday night or Saturday just yet. I know when they went out to Oakland, they did leave on Friday. So wouldn't be surprised.
I would assume Friday.
Wouldn't be surprised if they do that again. So you do, similar to London, you have a day to kind of get adjusted to it. But can you imagine Seattle 0-3, the 12th man, you know, the Legion of Boom, that stadium 0-3, which is so hard to believe knowing the fan base that they have. And so that part of it, yeah, it's a little concerning. But at the same time, I mean, you know, I think the Jags have momentum and Seattle just quite frankly does not.
Yeah, and Taylor, to me, Seattle's in a place where a lot of other franchises would be. If the quarterback goes down, you are left with someone who cannot fulfill that role. And I have always said, if you have a mobile quarterback, that's your starter, you better have a mobile backup quarterback, because when the starter goes out, if and when the starter goes out in the NFL, yes, the quarterbacks are protected a lot, but as we've seen throughout the years, quarterbacks go down. Well, your backup better be able to run the offense in a similar style, or else I feel like you have to start from scratch. And in the middle of the season, that's very difficult. And so you do have some serious weapons there. We saw that 84-yard touchdown by DK Metcalf last night to start the game. And that's when I thought, the Saints are going to lose and Jameis is going to lose. And I was kind of hoping that Jameis would have a really bad game, because I made a bet once upon a time at SEC Media Days that Jameis Winston would not be starting by game 8. And so I have one more game technically for the Seahawks. But either way, I think overall when you look at it the Seahawks are a completely different team and without Russell Wilson. And the Jaguars are a team that, do they have their flaws? Of course, that's why they're 1-5. But overall, they're a team that has a really good quarterback.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how this goes, because there's two things that I want to say in this same sentence, and they almost contradict each other. But one of the things with Russell Wilson, even when he was playing, he kept that team floating for a while in a lot of games that they probably should have lost. And this is going back to even last season too. Russell Wilson's kept this team afloat. They do have weapons, but that defense has just been bad, like just so bad. And that's perfect for this Jaguars team right now, because we're just seeing Trevor Lawrence getting better and better and better. And although they just officially lost DJ Chark, they're finding little pieces. We saw Urban Meyer talking about Agnew today as one of the biggest weapons. They are missing other things that could definitely help an offense. But in saying that, I do think that even last night, comparing the game to saying, oh, well, Seattle looked that bad to New Orleans. New Orleans has one of the better defenses in the league right now. Orleans passing defense, really good. And when it comes to passing yards, they're in the top 10 least allowed. They've hardly allowed any passing touchdowns. And you want to talk about Jags run defense, New Orleans is even better.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to say, well, because they did that to New Orleans, that the Jags have a chance. I'm not quite there with the Jaguars yet. I think this defense has a lot of things to work on. And what I do like to hear is Urban Meyer saying they are shifting some things from that man coverage all of the time to zone, and hopefully stuff like that works, because this passing defense has just been atrocious. Mm-hmm. And even in Geno Smith, who I'm not trying to give any credit to whatsoever, but we also see sometimes once you do play a game or two, there is a little more rhythm, especially when you have guys like Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. You don't have to do much to get to the ball to DK Metcalf. He's massive, and he's not even a human. So I'm not there yet to say that it's going to be like quite possible. Do I think it could be a surprise and Jags pull some things off because the offense, you know, really explodes? Yes. Do I think the defense is going to automatically stop the Seattle offense? No.
The other thing I'm going to hang my hat on, too, is don't forget that the New York Giants at the time, I believe, were 1-6 last year when they made the trip out to Seattle. And they absolutely obliterated the Seahawks, because that defense is so questionable depending on when you catch them, if it's a good day or it's a bad day. Mm-hmm. Last night, Jameis Winston, 222 yards through the air, only 94 rushing yards for the Saints. And so that's one of my key stats. Alvin Kamara was their leading receiver. And so I know everyone in this town keeps yelling, give the ball to J-Rod. J-Rob, feed James Robinson, feed James Robinson. Don't forget that James Robinson has had at least 6 or 7 catches out of the backfield. Not quite the...
Yeah, throw it to J-Rob.
Right, not quite the 128 yards of receiving that Alvin Kamara had last night. And so I'm not sure if a lot of that was on screen passes or what. We know the Jags can't stop a screen pass worth a nosebleed. And so maybe it's the same thing with Seattle, because let's be real. And to Taylor's point of this, Seattle defense has been regressing for years. It inherently is because that Legion of Boom defense that, of course, infamously, Todd Wash brought from Seattle to the Jacksonville Jaguars with Gus Bradley, that is predicated on having 6 or 7 all pros. When was the last time Seattle's defense had six or seven all pros? Mm-hmm. I honestly, I couldn't tell you. I mean, obviously not since Richard Sherman has left have they had one on the outside. But yeah, just bringing it back, it actually was only a 17-12 loss to the Giants. But at the same time, you know, the Giants were like 1-8 at the time. And it really sparked them to then finish with five wins. And so could I see something similar happening here? Absolutely.
And let's not sugarcoat it. I mean, you know, this was a big game for them, obviously, for the Seahawks. And they fell short. And it came close all the way to the end. And they're going to be looking at it like, well, and they stay at home. Jacksonville's coming in town, and we got a bye week next. Whatever. And they got two big games after that.
And they got Russell coming back the next week, potentially. They're trying to get through this.
Right. They got Green Bay and Arizona back-to-back after their bye week. So they could potentially looking at Jacksonville as two bye weeks in a row at this.
Or
so
just we're going to stay there. Afloat. Stay afloat.
Yeah. Let's get there. And like I said, punch Pete Carroll in the face.
Well, and especially, Donna, I think because if you look at this, that from the outside, Seattle probably is like, okay, yeah, we have Geno Smith, but what do the Jaguars have outside of Trevor Lawrence? And I think a lot of teams probably are thinking that last week because let's be honest, you barely beat Miami. You won by a last-second 53-yard field goal against a team who's very depleted, not good. Two is coming back from injury, and two is not really good. They're talking about possibly replacing him with a guy who may not be able to play football that much longer, depending on what happens with certain things. So they could be looking at this like, okay, like we can make it one through one more week until Russell gets back.
Yeah, and the other side of me, the realistic side of me, says they're going, we have a 1-5 football team coming into town. We are desperate to get a victory, even though we don't have Russell Wilson. And this is a team that's easily beatable as long as we pressure their corners. And look, the Jaguars' defensive, the secondary, as far as their defensive efforts, has been really bad. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm Seattle, I get all the optimism from the Jacksonville side. But if I'm Seattle, I'm also saying, all we have to do is follow this game plan, have Geno Smith just be a game manager, and we got this in the bag. All right, when we come back, one of the four of us went to a live football game last weekend. The rest of us had a wonderful bye weekend. We will get to that and a whole lot more. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Seven years and still going strong.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
And Renewal by Anderson.
On 1010XL.
Stand By Me I've ever heard. Our music theme tonight is Halloween songs, or songs that make us think of Halloween. Mm-hmm. Whose version of Stand By Me is this, Donna Murphy?
This is by K.I. Theory.
And how did you ever hear this song?
I heard this years ago.
Okay.
And you should have heard me in my office. Beef was in. Beef and I share kind of an office, you know.
You have adjoining office.
Yes. And I'm like, I can't think of who makes this song. And he's like, well, let me help you. I go, you can't help me because I don't know if it is Stand By Me or if it's, and I was having fits and I couldn't, and it was taking forever. And he's like, well, I ain't helping you.
He's like, sorry for trying.
It took me at least 20 minutes and I went down a rabbit hole and eventually it just popped in my head and I found it.
So why does this version of Stand By Me make you think of Halloween other than the
it's
fact
creepy.
That it's super creepy?
Yeah. I know, because it's creepy. And you do not want to watch the video of this, right, RJ?
Yeah, it gets pretty dark.
No, yeah, it is. It is a nasty video. But it's from Fear the Walking Dead, which I do not watch any of The Walking Dead.
Okay.
That is all Mike Dempsey. But I don't know how I found this song, but I came across it, and I love the song, though.
I like that version. It's funny because
you like that version.
I love that version.
If you didn't know the song and obviously, like, know the lyrics and stuff, it's funny how just, like, that, like changing a version of a song like that can make it sound like they're talking about two completely. Like that one sounds like he's stalking somebody and it's like Stand By Me, like creepily, you know?
It's super, yeah.
It's waiting to be in the next Lifetime original TV series.
It's creepy.
It's literally, it's built for it.
I think.
That or like TNT.
Yeah, I think it was on credits for maybe a show we were watching or something, and that's why, and it wasn't Fear the Walking Dead, it was something else, and I think that's why I'm like, oh, this is such a good song.
So with each person's song, I'm going to ask a question. So only Donna is going to answer for now. The scariest movie you've ever seen?
I'd have to say probably It, just because I was little and I hate clowns because of that.
Yep.
I told my nine-year-old, we're never decorating the outside in clowns for Halloween, and he's never allowed to be a clown for Halloween. He wanted to be Ghostface from Scream this year, and I'm like, oh.
Yes, do it.
Okay, fine, I'll allow
it. As long as you're not a clown.
But you're no clowns. No clowns ever. No clowns.
There is a house that I, when I ran all last year during COVID and stuff, there's a house that I run by, and I know they do it this year too, I just haven't been by it, but they literally have, and I'm like you, it is terrifying, and I saw it when I was 8 years old and have always been afraid of clowns. And when you go to certain places like San Francisco and there's just like clowns around, you scream.
Nope.
Well, this house has literally like clowns hanging from all different branches in the trees, and they have, and it can be like 8 a.m. and they still have like scary noises playing. Ooh. And every time I just have to like have blinders on, sprint by the house. And yeah, it's
clowns are not funny, people. They're not.
It is one of those movies you will never forget it. All right, Taylor Dahl. Yes. One of the things that you saw that was a little scary was the Bears game this past weekend in Tampa. It was fun overall, just not exactly a good game for your team.
Yeah, I will start by saying I had a blast. I went with my grandpa, so we have a good time no matter what. And he cares. He's not a Bears fan. He's actually from Ohio, so he is a Browns fan. But so he didn't have like any dedication to either team. Obviously, he cheers for the Bears for me and my grandma, who is from Chicago. So he was just having a great time, like talking to everybody, like meeting. He's like told every single person in the section we were in that I hosted an all-female sports talk show. Like, I was like, okay, let's keep it down. No, I appreciate him and I love him. But we had a great time, but the game was terrible. And one of the things, it was funny because when Donna wrote the thing, she was like, the way the goat dismantled the Bears. And I was like, let's backtrack for a second, because I've also seen Tom Brady now. This is the third time I've seen him in person. And he did not play well. He really, truly did not. And I was sitting there and I was like, man, he's like overthrowing everything. Like, don't go watch the highlights. Go back and watch this whole game. And he was like overthrowing, underthrowing, completely missing wide open targets. And even the Bucks fans around me were like, what's going on? What is Tom doing? And I was like, well, he probably knows he doesn't have to play. Like,
well, I'm just even looking at the stats. He only averaged 5.9 yards a pass.
He barely completed.
Enjoy what you were given, Tampa fans. He had 4 touchdowns. That's all he needs.
Yeah, and he like barely completed 50% of his passes, and it was just not good. It was like Leonard Fournette day, though. He was running all over everything. A lot of that for me, the Bears were missing Akeem Hicks and Robert Quinn, who are the Bears have lead the league, or at least before last week led the league with sacks with 18, and Robert Quinn and Akeem Hicks accounted for like 12 of them, and both of them were not in the game last week. They didn't get to Tom Brady whatsoever. And then the secondary was already struggling, and we were down to safety and to Sean Gibson. So it was just not a good day.
Former Jaguars.
Yeah. It was not a good day to come in for the Bears, in addition to like just making mistakes. They turned the ball over 5 times. Justin Fields got sacked another 4, making it 21 on the season and 5 starts. Like, it's just, it's bad. It was not Tom Brady, and I've seen Tom Brady win games, and it was not that game. So I wish I could say that. I wish I could say, like, it's Tom Brady. Of course he won. But in that same breath, a bad day for Tom Brady is, like, a good day for a lot of other quarterbacks. So I have to say that. It was a great time, though. I ended up accidentally getting club seats because I waited until the day of the game. And it used to stress me out doing that, but it's really worked out for me the last like few seasons now that they have all these secondary markets where people are selling. So the day of, I kept looking and they were going down and going down like closer to the game. So I was like, all right, well, I'll just wait. So walking up to the stadium, I jump on and I end up buying seats, and no one could tell us where our seats were. And the one lady was like, "Oh no, you're down a level." And then we go down, the lady's like, "No, you're up a level." And me and my grandpa are going all over the place. Kickoff's in like 20 minutes, and I'm like, "Where are our
that
seats?"
That sounds like many a Florida Georgia for yeah. me when I had seats in the temporary section.
Like, what is
and
happening?
You've been tailgating hardcore.
Yeah. Well, and that's the problem. We showed up. I started drinking at 1, like watching all of the other games and having a good time. Then finally, one guy was like, "Oh, you're in the club. Just like go inside those doors right there." So it ended up being perfect because it was rainy, but for the beginning, and we ended up having the inside, which is very similar to the Jags, where you go in and it has like the big open where there's TVs everywhere and you have your own bar and food and all of that in that area. Very similar to that. But when you walk out, our seats are like under the shade, they're cushioned seats out there. And I was like, this is kind of nice. I didn't even mean to do that. And thank goodness, because if I had to watch a zero touchdown game by the Bears in like uncomfortable seats, that would have been awful.
See, Mia, I think I would have been miserable the whole time. Like club seats, great grandpa, like not great grandpa, but wonderful grandfather. Like I still think based off of the way that game went, like the whole time, honestly, Brian and I were watching the game, Taylor, I was like, poor Taylor. This sucks. Yeah. Like when your team performs that badly and you've paid and you've traveled, I would have been livid. But I'm glad you had fun. But me, I would have been livid.
I've only been to Ray J once. Donna, do you have your drink ready? It was for the 2019 Outback Bowl, Iowa, Mississippi State.
Oh, there it is.
And we
drinking
sat in the club.
Dr. Pepper.
We sat in the club seats. And so we were surrounded by Mississippi State fans with the cowbells. Mm-hmm. And that was actually the year, if you remember, where they had gone to the Children's Hospital and like tried to pick a fight with the Iowa players, and like that was the beginning of the end of that Mississippi State, yeah, that whole thing. So with that said, obviously Iowa won the game, so the only game I've ever been at Ray J, the team I was there to root for, won. So I mean, those seats were extra comfy for me. I mean, for me, like, here's the thing, and like, again, I know the numbers really don't tell the full story of the game, because let's be real, the only stat that matters is 38-3. Justin Fields was 22 of 32. Was that mostly in garbage time? Like 184 yards isn't anything to write home about. He obviously threw three picks, but like, so is it mostly like underneath stuff that he's going for?
It's five turnovers. He had three interceptions and two fumbles. So you're giving the ball
time to throw the ball.
Zero. Right. And if you're giving the ball five extra times to Tom Brady, he's going to score four touchdowns. And he barely broke 200 yards. That's what's crazy.
No, it's 211.
Yeah, when you hear four touchdowns, you're expecting 350, 380 yards. And it wasn't. The Bears were just like, here's another chance, Tom. Here's another chance, Tom. Three of the times, which in their zone, like in their own territory already. But I was just having fun anyways. I wasn't going into that game expecting that whatsoever, but I also wasn't expecting a win. Last year, Tom Brady forgot what down he was on, and I was like, he's coming back and is like, I'm not losing to this Bears team again. I had a fun, like, talking to people around, because they were all really nice also. Like, no one, they were making their little, like, oh, I hope you don't have a long flight home. And I was like, first of all, you guys inherited a Hall of Fame quarterback overnight, and he brought all his little friends to town, and you got a Super Bowl.
You literally had Jameis Winston, like, two years ago.
And they were like, I know, I'm just kidding with you. Like, we have to, let us embrace this for a little while. And I'm like, yeah, enjoy it.
I would have loved to see Don in the stands, like, you got my quarterback. You are welcome.
You're welcome.
Don't complain. Well, you're welcome.
That's what I told Taylor. I said, when my brothers went to the revenge game in New England, all they kept saying to all the Tampa fans that were there was, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, every time they saw
and
one.
And here's the crazy part to kind of bring this looking ahead now. Here's who the Bucs have in their next few games. They're at the Saints, who obviously we saw last night have their own set of flaws. Mm-hmm. At Washington. I mean, that's, you know, depends
that's a flaw
on what.
In its own.
Exactly. And then home against the Giants. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to be 9-1.
Must be nice.
They're going to be 9-1. And again, and Tom Brady only has to throw for 211 yards to do it.
Mm-hmm. And who was their schedule to start? Like, I feel like they've
started
with
the Rams. We know that.
Yeah. Well, they started
outside the Rams. I feel like it was
Cowboys, Falcons, Patriots, Dolphins, Eagles.
Easy.
Well,
easy.
Cowboys.
They do have the Bills. They do have the Bills in 5 or 6 weeks. So, I mean, that's kind of.
That's going to be a tough. The Bills?
Yeah.
That's
like, gonna be but tough that's the thing. I'm looking. Yeah, that's going to be a tough game. But other than that, they have the Panthers twice, the Jets, and the Saints again, and the Falcons, and the Colts.
I wish the Bucks played the Rams again in the regular season. That would be a lot of fun for me. Mm-hmm. But alas, they do not. That Bucks at Jets January 2nd, based off of the way the Patriots dismantled the Jets, I feel like that, if that your score was, what, 54 to
13.
So what is the Bucks Jets score? Now, granted, Tom Brady may not even need to play at that point in time.
Blaine Gabbert.
It's game 16. I don't know, but Blaine Gabbert got even in, we saw.
And who will be the quarterback?
Against Taylor's team.
Who will be the quarterback for the Jets? Will it be Flacco? Will it be Wilson?
Yeah.
Most likely it'll be Wilson as long as he doesn't get hurt again. And, and Taylor, I felt bad. All the Bears fans were saying fire Nagy, and I understand why. And then like hours later, it's like, well,
he has
crap.
COVID.
He has COVID. Now I've been like saying bad things about him, and now I at least have to pray for him until he gets through it.
I know. I guess. I would never like wish anything bad, and I hope he's okay, but I kind of wish it was before the game because then he wouldn't have been play calling.
Golly. And that's sports, ladies and gentlemen. Life sometimes comes second.
Well, hey,
sports.
At least, I mean, I'm looking at your Bears schedule now, Taylor. I mean, 49ers at home. We clearly saw, I mean, Jimmy G is still the prettiest face in the NFL,
yes,
but he's not the prettiest quarterback.
We'll just leave it at the prettiest face.
Even in the rain. Even in the rain, he looks beautiful, but his play on the field was not. So, I mean, you get them at home, at the Steelers, depends who you get that day.
Yeah.
And then the Ravens, which Taylor and I were talking before we started the show about Joe Burrow dismantling them over the weekend. So, again, like, I'm not saying that there's a chance, but – and then you get the Lions.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, as much as you're
on
three
Thanksgiving.
And – as much as the Bears are 3-4, I mean,
there's a lot
there's
of
hope.
Yeah, there's a lot of heart around that because we also have Kyler Murray coming up, Green Bay again. There's one more that's, like, a really tough one. I'm not looking at the
Seattle.
Schedule. Yeah, and with Russell Wilson because we have him towards the end of the year. So
the Lions
we'll
game is your Thanksgiving match. Oh,
yeah.
Man, there's going to be a lot of people hating on that game.
Blessings.
Thanksgiving.
Blessings.
Yes.
What a blessing on Thanksgiving that will be for the Bears fans.
That's going to be the nap
catapult
game.
Catapult them
nap.
Back into the wild card race.
We take a nap during that game.
Well, that is the fun part about being a Jaguars fan is you know who your quarterback is and you know that he can evade sacks.
Knock on wood. Knock on wood.
Unlike some other
keep him
quarterbacks.
Healthy.
And yes, keep him healthy is correct. We saw earlier today that right guard AJ Can is out for the rest of the season. We weren't sure about how long that injury would be. That's on the heels of knowing, like Taylor mentioned earlier, that wide receiver DJ Chark is also out for the season. All right, when we come back, it is time for Who Will Play Better, brought to you by Renewal by Anderson, the official window and door replacement of the Jaguars. A better way to a better window. That is next. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010 XL on 2.5 FM.
Helmets and Heels, because hats and shoes just doesn't have the same ring.
Driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
And Renewal by Anderson.
On 1010 XL.
Songs that remind us of Halloween without Thriller, the one and only by Michael Jackson. You can just picture the music video. Even if you're not a music video generation person, you can still picture the music video.
I may be moving my head the
right way. Yes, exactly.
Well, as Donna looked over me, music video generation, I was going to say
13 going on 30.
There it is! That's what I was going to say! 13 going on 30 is my first thought whenever I hear Halloween first and foremost, but then 13 going on 30, man. That's the only reason I know how to do the dance.
I have no idea why it's in that movie, but I know the original. And
you don't.
Jennifer Garner is an angel, so that's why.
I'm sorry. You know me. I'm not a movie person. But Michael Jackson's Thriller, that's the classic. If you ever go to a Halloween party, they're going to play that. And so I will say my answer would have been the scariest movie I've ever seen would have been It. I was only 8, like I said. But since you chose that, I will go with the first Michael Myers movie, which is Halloween. And I will tell you, I saw that at a sleepover. You've never seen it, Donna?
No.
Yeah, don't see it. I saw it at a sleepover. I didn't sleep that night.
I bet not.
I probably didn't sleep a lot of nights. I, to this day, this is admitting something very personal, but I, to this day, do not sleep anywhere by myself. Like, if Brian was to ever go out of town, even though we have a wonderful dog, and luckily he's in town all the time, but if he ever goes out of town, I am taking Keaton, I am going to my parents' house, and I am sleeping there. I do not sleep in houses alone. I don't know if it dates back to seeing way too many scary movies at that age, or if it's just because I'm a scaredy cat at this age. which is way too old to feel like this, but I'm telling you, I do not sleep in houses by myself. Aww. It's just a thing. And I, like I said, I have a wonderful dog. He would protect me, but I'm not doing it. So
I had seven roommates my senior year, so I think by the time I moved to there was seven of us.
More the merrier.
By the time I got, I moved to Iowa for my first job, and there so there it is.
Dr. Pepper down the hatch.
And rent out there is, a lovely $600 a month to have a 1,000 square foot apartment by yourself. And I was I'm going to do that. Yeah, that sounds pretty nice. And then I upgraded to 800, it was 820 a month, but I had a 1,400 square foot 2-bedroom by myself.
Yeah.
And people were like, you're spending so much money to live by yourself. And I'm like, I love the solo life.
Yeah. Props to people like you who have lofts and
apartments. I don't anymore. That was just, I was living high roller out there. I wish.
All right, RJ, take it away.
Who will play better? Brought to you by Renewal by Andersen. A better way to a better window.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
It's the Jaguars.
Robinson, the running back. Four-man rush, now a five-man rush. Fires deep downfield. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown in the right corner of the end zone. Marvin Jones Jr. And Jacksonville is in the end zone.
And the Seahawks.
Geno takes a shot down the sideline. DK Metcalf is in the game, and he's down the sideline. 84 yards. There are no flags. And that's how the run sets up the passing touchdown.
All right, we are back for more. No more bye week.
Yeah.
For the Jacksonville Jaguars, we're going to go 11 in a row. That's a college season, in the words of Trevor Lawrence. Congratulations to one Lauren Brooks.
Basking in the winning glory.
Finally.
Yeah.
In the win column. Took her 7 weeks to do it, but we are here.
I'm like the hometown team.
Now.
Progress.
We can have ourselves a competition. Lauren Brooks skipping over the Brooks after 7 weeks. 1-6, but after this first win, I think she's going to play a little bit more loose and get more wins. That's what I'm saying about the Jacksonville Jaguars as well. So,
I like it.
Good luck to Lauren Brooks. Donna Murphy, Blue the Bear, is at 4-3. She is standing in first place in the Helmets and Heels division. The Mini Mias, Mia O'Brien, 3-5. On the year, Don't Ever Call Me Doll. Taylor Doll had two questions asked to her last week. She went 1-2. Her record, I should say, is now at 3-4. This was tough to try to find something for you guys to choose this week, because I'm not going to talk about the quarterback just yet. This is Trevor Lawrence versus Geno Smith.
I feel like you're saving that one for the New England game.
Or even the Jets game.
I was about to say.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Zach Wilson.
Stay tuned. So, this week, we're going to go a little bit outside of the box.
Don't confuse me. I'm just coming off of one game.
This won't be confusing, but it will come down to this. Which team is going to have more drives in the ball game? Both teams had 11 in their last games with the Seahawks having 11 drives in their loss to the Saints. Jacksonville having 11 drives of their own in a win against the Dolphins. So who is going to have more drives in this ball game? Ladies, talk to me.
Donna, you want to start?
I will go with the road team. I will go with Jacksonville on this one.
Mia?
I'm going to go with the Seahawks, because they're going to be playing in garbage time catch-up at the end of the game, if you know what I mean.
Ooh, garbage. Garbage drives.
Taylor?
Normally,
she is torn, ladies and gentlemen.
Normally, I have some long explanation of why I'm picking this, but I don't know with drives. I'm going to say Seattle.
Oh, well, this is too easy for me then. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars will dominate the time of possession, so I will say the Jaguars have more drives than the Seahawks.
All right, ladies. Well, you know I don't have a pick. Good luck to the four of you. Lauren, let's try to see if we can get another win here. Let's pick up the pace.
Well, please. I don't know if I should be comfortable with her going the same as me, so we'll see.
Listen, as long as she starts getting things right. Listen, we're already here now. We're here now.
All right.
Let's have ourselves a competition. Right. Lauren's finally got one on the win column. Let's not let it be the only win, Lauren. That's what I'm asking.
Yes.
I'll do my best.
I don't know if you come back and finish in first, now that'll be, you know, listen.
Ooh, stellar.
But, you know,
I'm very competitive in many aspects of my life. For some reason, who will play better does not feed my competitive juices. I'm okay with whatever happens.
We should have put something on the line here. I'm starting to reconsider.
I need you to go buy a trophy, RJ. I need you to go out and buy one tonight.
I have another bag of sweet tarts. Would you like me to put that on the line?
That's the most.
No, somebody find me Tom Brady's football. I need a smooth 15 million player.
I don't think it would go for that much, but we will certainly talk a little bit about Halloween candy later in the show. But before we get to that, should we talk about injuries, Mia? Should we do that? Should we go ahead and just do it?
RJ, you ready?
The personal injury attorneys of Farrah and Farrah present this injury update. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family since 1979.
Lauren alluded to the negative. We're going to start with the positive. Middle linebacker Miles Jack expected to be a full go for the Jags this week in Seattle after missing the London game with an oblique injury. He won't be wearing the green dot. That's a story for another time. I should note on a personal note, I talked to Miles Thursday and I was like, hey, look, or Wednesday, excuse me, before they left for the bye, 4 days off. And I was like, look at you, full pads. And he said, Jack is back. Put it on the news. You heard it here. Rookie cornerback Tyson Campbell also expected to return against the Seahawks. Rookie defensive tackle Jay Tufele did have surgery on that hand injury he suffered during pregame warmups against the Dolphins. He is expected to miss a few weeks, meaning we have a few more weeks of Taven Bryan in Jacksonville. Hey, yo. And head coach Urban Meyer officially announcing that wide receiver DJ Chark and guard AJ Cann are out for the rest of the season with a fractured ankle and MCL injury, respectively. This has been the Farrah and Farrah Injury Update.
And we saw Ben Bartsch go in at right guard, and then he had the concussion, but I would assume that he's fully back. And so the offense will be Shatley for Linder and then Bartsch for Cann for at least the foreseeable.
And Linder is expected back at some point. I believe it was 4 to 5 weeks when he suffered the injury.
Right.
And so I would assume that would mean either the Bills or the Colts game, if my math is right there. Maybe, possibly.
Yeah,
probably closer
right.
towards the Colts game, which would be on November 14th. But you still get him back, which is huge.
Yeah.
Those other two guys are obviously two big losses. And so now the question becomes for the Jaguars, who steps into that role of stretching the field? The fact that Jamal Agnew is doing that, and Jamal Agnew has only played wide receiver for 2 years, is nothing short of incredible and should be more of a national storyline.
Yeah, it really shouldn't. If the Jaguars were a better football team, I think it would be.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is it gets buried because when you only have one win, people like Keyshawn Johnson talk about how your quarterback can't win you anything, and it's obviously
well the same as when he was in Detroit, and you most people wouldn't have been able to know who he was before, because Detroit, unfortunately for him, he goes from the Lions to the Jags, where he's not getting the recognition
he should get. By the way, going back to the offensive line, I've only ever been a Jaguars fan, so this is the only team I've ever studied as closely as we do. Certainly we look at the AFC South a lot because we get to play them twice a year, but I don't know if other towns, if other NFL cities focus on the offensive line as much as the Jaguars do week in and week out. Obviously, a lot of people think that this offensive line is terrible. This year, I don't think it's terrible. But as far as looking to next year, which is what I'm already doing, there are so many questions. Cam Robinson obviously playing on a franchise tag. They draft Walker Little, but Walker Little hasn't seen any playing time. I guess they don't think Walker Little can play right tackle, even though Juwan Taylor has been struggling at times, but he hasn't gone in for him. You've got Andrew Norwell, who had a big contract, but he certainly hasn't been playing as well. Brandon Linder seems to be injured every year. He can't play a full 16 or 17 game season. You've got the AJ Cann injury. What's going to mean for that? Maybe Ben Bartsch can replace him. And then I just mentioned Juwan Taylor. Like, I don't know if other teams and Taylor, Donna, y'all could speak to this, but I mean, I feel like the offensive line here in Jacksonville is criticized and scrutinized more than every other offensive line.
Talk to that one.
Yeah, our line is bad. And our line has called their, like, 39-year-old left tackle who was fishing in the offseason to come play when Tevin Jenkins had to go get back surgery after you just drafted him in the second round. So I think because you're just here, obviously you hear those things more. I can promise you that most, maybe outside of the AFC South, not one person is talking about the Jags offensive line.
Yeah, and that's probably a good thing at this point in time.
I'll tell you this, and it's funny because the Bears are in this neck of the woods. In Big Ten country, they talk about the offensive line.
Good call. The big ugly.
Speaking of college, speaking of college ball,
college football, we're going to talk to Richard Johnson from Sports Illustrated and SEC Network next. He had some interesting comments about the Florida football program. We will talk to him, and we have a whole lot more coming up. It is Florida Georgia Week here in Jacksonville. Super excited about that game on Saturday at TIAA Bank Field. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010XL on 82.5 FM.
Stilettos and Sabermetrics.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
And Renewal by Anderson.
On 1010XL.
There's a difference between a team coming in and throwing all over you and a team running you the over, which is what LSU did in this game multiple times. Pro Football Focus's Anthony Tresh tweeted at me after the game, actually. LSU was averaging 3 counter plays per game coming into this game. They ran counter 14 times on Saturday at 14.7 per pop. So, yes, Florida should not have expected a particularly heavy dose of counter coming into the game, but obviously, as they are continuing to run it more and more, you have got to adjust.
There you have it, the words of Richard Johnson, who joins us now from Sports Illustrated and SEC Network. Well, Richard, to make Gator fans feel better, I mean, Ty Davis Price is totally a Heisman candidate, right? Richard Johnson joins us now. Richard, I don't know if you just were able to hear those words that you said, but to make Gator fans feel better, Ty Davis Price is totally a Heisman candidate, right?
Hey, I don't know. They sure made him look like one the other day. You know, it was everybody saw the game. I mean, it was not good from Florida's defense, and it wasn't good all day. And it had better be better on Saturday when the Dogs come to Jacks.
Yeah, it better be better is right. Todd Grantham, the Gators defensive coordinator, a lot of Gator fans were upset with him last season. But certainly a lot of teams around the league had bad defenses. And this season, the Gators defense, I thought, was much improved. Certainly the pass rush was, and then we got to the game against LSU. So if you're Georgia, aren't you planning to run some counters?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're watching that LSU film and you're saying, you know, we can do that. You know, Florida's plan to stop the play, like from a schematic standpoint, was not terribly unsound. I mean, it wasn't really even terribly unique. They tried to do what a lot of teams try to do when they try to defend counter, which is basically try to force the run inside. Now, you know, if you go back and watch those highlights, a lot of those runs come inside, you know, the tight end. And that is the problem. That's where the problem lies, because nobody in the interior Florida's defense all day against LSU could stand up. They just could not handle the physical toll, and LSU whipped them up and down all day. And it's one of those things where there are a lot of fancy things that you can draw up on the chalkboard when you want to talk about the sport of football. But at the end of the day, the game's about blocking and tackling. You got to strap it up. And if Florida can't do that on Saturday, they're going to get whipped.
Richard Johnson of Sports Illustrated and SEC Network Acclaim joining us here on Helmets and Heels. A native son of Gainesville and a Florida grad, might I add, as he's spitting flames about the hometown Gators. Richard, obviously, like you said, the defense, the battle of the trenches, that's really where this team is going to either succeed or it's not going to succeed. But the other big talking point this week has, of course, been the quarterback position at the University of Florida. If you're Dan Mullen, if you trot Emery out there, is that just him with his, you know, I'm the smartest guy in the room, or do we believe that Dan Mullen knows a little bit better?
No, you know, I understand, and I do get the reasoning for not wanting to put Anthony Richardson out there early in the season. I understand, and you know, I get what he was talking about, where he said that, you know, he doesn't know the full playbook, and there are plenty of things that he can do, but there's also plenty of things that Anthony Richardson can't do in that playbook. And I think that is part of the reason why he wasn't starting earlier in the season. And then, of course, the injuries that he had. You know, then again, when you look at Emory Jones, you know that Emory Jones maybe can unlock your whole playbook. But when you're into that whole playbook, there are some pretty bad turnovers. And you know, everybody saw the USF game, for instance, and some of the mistakes that he's made in the LSU game as well. But again, Anthony Richardson's interception in the LSU game wasn't exactly the best pass I saw all weekend either. So, you know, there's a mixed bag with both of them. I expect Florida to come out, frankly, and have a little something for Georgia on defense similar to last year. I mean, you can say what you want about Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen is a pretty good big game schemer. They have given Alabama more than Alabama's wanted in the last two games. And then, obviously, they beat Georgia last season. A Georgia that's not this good, but they did win the game last season. Obviously, the problem with Dan is that they struggled to get over the hump in these big games. And they stubbed their toe, like in the LSU game, when they're a favorite both times. But I do expect Florida's offense to have some rabbits to pull out of the hat. You know, you give them 2 weeks to scheme for Georgia, and I do think they'll have a little something. But will it be enough over the course of 60 minutes against that defense? Probably not.
So do you expect it to be Emory or Anthony when Florida's offense trots out onto the field for the first time?
I think you play them both. Well, I think you play them both again. I really do think you play them both again. I think I would expect a little bit more Anthony Richardson, but my thing is, if Anthony Richardson's in that game, you're bringing him in that game because you want to do some quarterback run. That sounds all well and good in your head and when you say it out loud, but when the rubber meets the road, you have to block Jordan Davis and friends. And nobody else has really been able to do that this season. So if you want Anthony Richardson to run 15, 20 times or whatever, I understand. I understand his athletic ability. I understand just the freakish explosiveness that he brings to the table. But Georgia's defense is a different deal.
Now, Richard, we're obviously going to get a little bit more into this Florida-Georgia, but the clip we played before you came on, you could just hear your disappointment and frustration with this Florida team. So my question's kind of just based on that, because you could go a few ways with this question, whether it's coaching decisions or Emory or the defense. But to you, what's been the most disappointing aspect of the Florida team this year so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's twofold. The Alabama game, and you know, let's say they lose on Saturday. I think it's one thing when you can't beat the best two teams in the league, some of the best two teams in the country. You're not beating them because you can't match up talent for talent, guy for guy. There's 125 teams that can't either, but it's the University of Florida. You're supposed to be in a tier of the sport where you should be able to get talent. Now, the talent deficiencies is one thing. But the other thing is, you know, you've lost to an LSU team 2 years in a row when you were an aggregate, like, 38-point favorite in both games combined against the spread. You've lost outright to those two LSU teams. And both of those LSU teams were in various states of being wounded dogs. Of course, we know what happened to Ed Orgeron the day after they beat Florida. I think the stubbing of the toe is a much bigger deal and a much more troubling of a deal for Florida than not being able to beat Alabama or Georgia. I just think losing games that they're not supposed to lose, like, I understand this is a better Kentucky team, but the University of Florida should not ever score 13 points against Kentucky. That's a joke.
So, Richard, you went to Florida. Tell me this. What is your best memory from the world's, don't call me the largest cocktail party ever?
You're not allowed to call it that. So the funny thing is, I am, I think, 0-5 in attendance. If I total it up correctly.
Are you going Saturday?
No, I'm not going Saturday.
Oh, thank goodness.
I am 0-5 in the stands. But the one I was in the press box for was the Muschamp year where Kelvin Taylor and Matt Jones ran for like 400 yards or whatever it was. And they beat Georgia in that game. That is the sole win I have been to in like 6 or 7 times at the game in my life.
Well, the good news is you won't be there Saturday. No offense. And I know at some point you're going to want to change that. But again, if you go in the press box, then maybe that streak will continue. Richard, as a Gator alum myself, I think the most frustrating thing for me right now has been Dan Mullen's abrasiveness in press conferences. Instead of saying, you know what, we were outgained on the ground and we weren't able to come up with a defense for that counter. Instead, he says things like, well, we gained more yardage than them total, right? You know, and so his defensiveness is off-putting to me. I'd rather have him just come out and be a little bit more candid and be a little more honest, because at the end of the day, we all know where the recruiting rankings are and the deficiency there. And yes, facilities will be something that addresses that. But overall, we all can see the issues. You should have tried to get more points before halftime at Kentucky. You didn't do it. Own up to that.
Yeah, I think that it's sort of a blessing and a curse, sort of the way Dan is. As far as a public posture, you know what he is, he's a heel. I mean, you know, the Darth Vader thing was really funny after that game. I'm sorry. Like, it just was, and things
except
like
he tried
that,
to get into a fight before that.
Yeah. Like it, things like that, like it, when you're winning, that stuff is funny. And you say, you know, he's our guy or whatever. You don't have to like him, but, you know, we're winning games or whatever. But when you don't win, when you do not win, you have to triage losses better than he does. There's just no two ways around it. You know, everybody's frustrated after they lose a game. I get that Dan Mullen's going to be frustrated after you put all that work in and you lose a football game. But you do have to sort of, you got to be a little bit of a better politician after the L's come.
So because this is a Jacksonville radio station, we do have to, you know, show both sides of this Saturday's big game. So let's talk a little bit about the Dogs, Richard. People joke quarterback carousel up in Athens. Har, har, har. What do you expect Kirby to do at the quarterback position on Saturday?
I don't know. I just do not know what they're doing with that quarterback position. You can't sit here and say that Stetson Bennett has not improved. Like, I know that, like, a lot of people may snicker when they hear that. I mean, go watch the Kentucky game, for instance. Like, that guy is low-key throwing some dimes. So I sort of get why they may want to stay with him. But again, you know, JT Daniels unlocks, they're similar to sort of the Emery and Anthony conversation. JT Daniels unlocks a different dimension of their offense. I think if you go back and watch last season, go back and look at how poorly, you know, Stetson Bennett and Juwan Mathis played in that game, and particularly where deep passes are concerned. You know, there's sort of an idea that Georgia is this, you know, turtle shell team or whatever, but they're not. They have a vertical offense passing, at least an attempt at that. And if you go back and watch the game last year where Florida played Georgia, look at all those deep passes that failed or that missed the mark. The routes are there. They just need a quarterback to take advantage of them. And JT Daniels later in the season, you know, against Mississippi State, against Auburn, you know, they were there. And so I'm very interested in what Georgia looks like on Saturday with what quarterback is there. I just think they're a very different offense with Stetson Bennett in how vertically they can attack anybody.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating. And Kirby Smart telling us that they're both going to play, whether or not you believe him, I think that that at least makes you think that some sort of rotation may be coming. And for me as a Gator fan, I hope that he rotates the quarterbacks in the exact wrong way. I hope that he puts in JT and then Stetson's flustered and then Stetson comes in and plays terrible like he did last season. And that's what I hope.
Do we think, Richard, has Georgia's defense figured out the wheel route yet? Speaking of last year's game,
If I'm Dan Lanning, Georgia's defensive coordinator, that's the only thing I repped for the last 2 weeks. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and that's everyone likes to point to last year's game, Richard, but at the same time, both teams are so incredibly different. And I got to see Jordan Davis in person, the Georgia defensive tackle at SEC Media Days, and my goodness, some people thought he was an offensive lineman because of how big he is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just him. I mean, all of their entire defensive front, front seven, front eight, however many players you want. I mean, those guys fly around to the football. It's incredible. I mean, N'Kobe Dean's probably the best linebacker in the country. Like, the way they play, it's fast, it's physical, it's aggressive, it's sound. And is the other thing, they're not just flying around, you know, with their hair on fire. They're doing the right things on defense, and they're doing them at mock speed. They are, that is a special, special unit on defense. And you know, if Florida fans aren't going to want to hear that, and Florida fans don't want to hear that, and they don't want to see that side of the ball play well on Saturday, or either side of the ball play well on Saturday. But if you are a football fan, you are a general football fan, what Georgia's putting out there on the field on defense, specifically in this era of offensive innovation and points all over the place, that Georgia defense is special.
Jack Campbell would like a word about that best linebacker in the country notion.
For what it's worth. All right, Richard. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
Y'all too. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that is Richard Johnson from Sports Illustrated and SEC Network, talking all sorts of good stuff when it comes to the world's largest outdoor cocktail
game.
All right, when we come back, more on college football and a whole lot more. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You're wearing Helmets and Heels,
driven by Tire Outlet, brought to you by Renewal by Anderson and Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track, where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back across the square.
This is one of those songs where I feel like the singer is singing with his jaw almost closed because I can't exactly understand the words that he's singing. But I like the song in general. Taylor, who is this?
So it's by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. It's from the Scream soundtrack.
Okay.
So,
no wonder.
If people know, like, Scream is my all-time favorite movie, like, above anything else. Like, scary movies in general, but Scream is my favorite.
So we could have had Taylor pick everybody's song with how much she loves scary movies.
Yes. So this part, if you've ever seen Scream, it's right on the first Scream when they are on curfew and everyone's like closing up shop early and they're like packing things up because they announced there's like a serial killer on the loose and everyone's packing all their stuff up. So it's like very fitting. Like when you hear it, you're like creepy, eerie feeling. And I just picture that part of the movie and that's when it starts getting like really exciting.
So. It's a very 60s vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what I get from it.
And again, I think he sings with his tooth closed. So, Taylor, what's the scariest movie you've ever seen? Since you are a scary movie person.
Yeah, I don't get, like, crazy scared. I get, like, nervous.
Oh, my gosh.
But there are a few.
Happy.
I'm more of, like.
The opposite of me.
I know.
Excited so never like, comes to mind.
You're, like,
when you're
talking about being
movies.
Little. I was, like, I literally begged my mom when I was in third grade for my eighth birthday if I could have my friends over to have an Exorcist watch party.
Oh my god.
And my mom was like, we can't do that. Like, none of your friends' parents are going to let them come over and watch The Exorcist when they're 8 years old. And I was like, why? And like, threw a fit. Now looking back, I'm like, I understand. But that's, I've always been like that. But I will say the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the first one, is one of the most terrifying movies for me to watch. And that's why anytime I'm in like a haunted house or at Halloween Horror Nights and I hear the chainsaws, I get like, that's the only thing that really scares me.
Right now in the studio where there's lights on and no chainsaws, I'm creeped out.
I will say that, or a lot of like the possession movies get me. So there's this movie called Hereditary and it's one of the like creepiest, like honestly scariest movies. I couldn't sleep for like a week and that doesn't happen to me. So don't watch Hereditary, Lauren, because you will not sleep.
I have not watched a horror movie in a very long, very long time. While you're saying all that, that reminds me, there is one movie that it's a scary movie that I always think about when I'm driving. And that's Final Destination. Mm-hmm. Anytime
like
there is a log truck, I mean, it can be on the other side of the road, and I'm terrified that those logs are coming for me. Mia, we missed your song. Well, we didn't miss it. We got to hear it, but we had to talk to Richard.
Charlie Brown.
Yeah, Charlie Brown. That makes you think of Halloween. Also, what's your scariest movie?
Because it's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Well, yeah, as Taylor's listing off all of these, all I can think of is you know, as a little 8-year-old reading Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, the line about her skeleton will lie in the chamber forever. I put the book down and didn't read it for another 2 months because I was so petrified. So that tells you my threshold for scary.
Is that Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Oh.
Why do you think Taylor's I chose the like, Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown? Come on now.
Taylor's like, hold my beer.
That's not her.
No, I will say this. I will say this. I did go see The Shining at a friend's house in high school. Yeah. Like, we had like a big like group night watching The Shining. And I really wasn't that scared of it. Well, so,
because that's not a true horror movie. I mean, it's a Stephen King novel, but I wouldn't say it's one of the scarier ones.
Have you read the novel? I have not, and I've heard the novel's worse. Way worse.
Yeah, Stephen King novels are all like 500 to 800 pages, so any type.
So is Harry Potter.
Book like that. Well, and it is, but that's a little different.
And it's hard
to
transfer.
I didn't. No, so then I did pick it up two months later. Oh, no, I'm a Harry Potter fiend. I've read that same book now like 6 times, but as a little eight-year-old, I promise I was not 14 petrified of it. As a little eight-year-old, like that was enough for my blood. I was like, all right, we're out. We're going to give this a little bit. Yep.
So on October 13th, a couple of girlfriends and I went on the St. John's River Taxi Haunted River Tour, the boat river tour. And so it was an absolute ball of a time. But they had actors on the boat that were all dressed in character from the 13th floor, which is a haunted house here in town. And so they would creep up to you, especially if you're on your phone and you're distracted. They would creep up to you until, you know, you screamed. We got very lucky. I have to say, at this point in time, the sun had not gone down. We had just gotten on the boat and I was scared. there are people just creeping and they look scary. And I was like, oh no, what if people jump out of the water, which they did
do. Jump but I out will say, of the water.
Well, because I thought, you know, like if you're like in, my friend was like, we're not in Disney. We're on the St. John's River.
So you're not deep.
Mermaids?
Right. Like I thought there would be like, you know, something haunted coming out of the water. But long story short, this little like 4-year-old girl was on the boat right in front of us. She was terrified of the scary things. So they ended up becoming just super nice. Haunted beings because of her, and it was much better for me.
Well, I will say this because I'm the same way with haunted houses. Yeah. Like, can I do it? Yes. But I think I was probably in eighth grade when I finally put two and two together and was like, you know, the solution to this is, and I was a very obnoxious 14-year-old, you just yell in their faces and laugh back at them. So, like, I'd be in a haunted house or a haunted hayride, and they, you know, the scary scream face would come at me, and I'd just go, ha! You stink! and that quelled my fear, or I'd just laugh at them. And so that's what I advise. I know we have some younger listeners. So to our younger listeners that don't want to, you know, about those scary guys, just
that's
laugh.
That's how you fix it. Well, that's what we went to the 13th floor a few weeks ago. And my boyfriend is not a horror movie fan or scared, like does not like haunted houses. Like when we met, he couldn't tell you like which one Michael Myers is on and Jason and Freddy. Like he didn't know who was on which scary movie, which blew my mind because I was like, I've been watching them since I was 5 years old. But we were in this haunted house in the 13th floor, which I go. They also do a couple a year and they do one during Valentine's Day. So I always go to that one and then I'll go to the Halloween one.
Valentine's
and so
Day.
I'm thinking like it's
she
me.
She was going to meet her lover there, Donna. She's dressed in a mask, blood oozing out.
But it was me and my boyfriend, my best friend, and her husband. And so, like, we get up, and like the guys are like in front at first, and they're sitting there, and then they're starting like backing up. So I'm like, oh, they're getting a little scared. I'll just get in front. So like, I go up front, and the guy's like, how many do you have? Because obviously they can only let a certain number through at a time. And so we're standing there, and I was like, oh, there's 4 of us, and he's like, 4. I see 5. And like I turn around and there's like this creepy just like woman just standing there like behind and calling. I thought he was just gonna like pee himself
at
that.
You didn't scream?
No, I laughed because I was just like,
that's when
she's been watching this stuff since she was 5.
It ended up being me having to lead all of them like through this haunted house, and Colin's like pushing me in front of everything, like, and I'm just laughing at this. I'm like, you like ruined it, because I'm laughing so hard that I wasn't even scared like for 1 second. And I'm more like jumpy, like things jumping obviously will like freak me out and I'll be like, oh, and then like that's it. But I'm never like, oh gosh, I'm not gonna make it. But I was laughing so hard because he was terrified. And like, we're halfway through and he's like, is this almost done?
Like, seriously, if you allow yourself to be scared, which I'm one of those people, like there was one time, and I think I get it from my mom. My mom took my brother and I to a haunted house a long time ago. And we are all just screaming. And we get to almost the end and my mom's shoe comes off. And she's like, leave the shoe. Get out. Just get out alive. And we left her shoe in the haunted mansion for years to come, I suppose. But final thing from the boat tour. So we're getting a lovely cruise of the haunted places of Jacksonville and downtown and the South Bank and all that. And they're shining brightly as TIAA Bankfield. And I wanted so badly to take a picture and tweet out, like, this is the most haunted place in all of Jacksonville.
This is where the bodies are buried.
And I decided
if I did that,
the Jaguars wouldn't get a win this season. And you know what? I didn't tweet that out, and the Jaguars beat the Dolphins. So there you have it. I did the right thing. All right, we only have one segment to go. You are listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yeah, they coming for my head.
For my head, pop.
Time is gonna catch up with you. Can't duck it like the feds. Cut a rug on a rag.
On the regular.
Can you dance with a boogeyman? Ain't underneath the bed.
7 years and still going strong.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
And Renewal by Anderson.
On 1010XL.
Was it something that I said? Then I said, made a sucker hit a seg. Ain't no whole nuts for no dead weights. How the head case got a head? When you dance with a boogeyman, ain't underneath your bed.
Because of the boogeyman, that's why this reminds you of Halloween?
Absolutely, and it came out last year on Halloween.
Oh,
this is Loaded Lux. He called the song Boogie Nights.
Okay.
The music video, it's not dark, but when you hear the lyrics, it's kind of like he's talking about, in my opinion, things that scare him and how he overcame them. So that's what I took from it. Once the song came out last year on Halloween, which is my brother's birthday, I'd listen to it on repeat all the time.
Thank you for inadvertently reminding me of the greatest rap song that has to do with Halloween, or at least rap verse, which is, of course, My Chick Bad by Ludacris. Friday the 13th, guess who's playing? Jason.
Oh, yes. Nicki Minaj.
I can't believe I didn't think about that one. Oh, sad.
Another
Nightmare on
maybe
Elm Street.
Year.
Guess who's playing? Freddy.
Yeah, maybe next year for Halloween. RJ, what's the scariest movie you've ever seen?
I'm not a scary movie person, so I'd stay away from as many scary movies. I'll tell you the movie that scared me a lot as a child, but I love now. That was Hercules. I was like terrified of like the Titans.
Hercules?
Terrified.
Wait, the Disney
Hercules?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like especially the part like where Hades like opens up like the water, and like I'm thinking, being like, you know, the hardcore Christian, I'm like, oh my gosh, like he actually like went to hell and like saved these like titans and stuff like that. So I'm like automatically scared because, you know, of course you're hearing like hell is like this horrible place. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, you know, now the gods are going to lose. Like he's so yeah, I was terrified.
Fun facts. I almost
a different childhood.
I almost actually actually watched Hercules last week because RJ and I were talking before the show last week.
Yes.
About with the fates and the we own with Aaron Rodgers saying that he owns the Bears. RJ was like, what's the Disney movie that features that? And that's Hades saying to Meg, I own you. And so I almost turned it on last week.
Oh, yeah. I was like,
I'm glad I did it. I didn't realize it scarred you for life, man. Sorry.
And we forgetting one teensy weensy, but ever so crucial, the tiny detail.
I'm not scared of it anymore. All right. So don't be out here trying to, you know, RJ, there's the Titans. Oh, my God, where? No, I'm not going to do that.
Well, stop. You know who actually, I mean, probably not because at the time he was 2 years old, but Josh Allen told me that his eldest son, Wesley, couldn't get through Finding Nemo because of the sharks. They freaked him. I mean, he was two at the time.
Yeah, that's understandable.
So, I mean, listen, man. We can't all be Taylor. We can't all be Taylor doll, unfortunately.
What I've learned, by the way, is RJ and Mia are going to go to Disney together.
I was there on Sunday.
Right, I know. Yes. For Halloween, that's your safe place. Don and I are just going to go get drinks at a bar because we're normal.
Yeah.
And then Taylor's going to go to actual, like,
graveyards
and houses and graveyards. Yeah, all that.
No, I will go to a haunted house, like a legit haunted
place. Okay, I'll be
place.
At the bar drinking by myself.
I will go ghost hunt all day. I'll ghost hunt.
Ghost hunt. Okay.
Yes.
I want to go stay in an actual, like the Amityville house or something so
yeah,
badly.
You want to go to the Conjuring house?
Yes.
Ugh. It's for
I will say really quick, because we are on the Halloween topic, Donna sent this to me earlier because apparently as Aaron Rodgers is getting creepier by the day with his look, but he's said reportedly that he's growing his hair out and whatever because of a Halloween costume, but he hasn't released what Halloween costume it was for. He just said, like, you guys will find out on Halloween weekend, but that's why he's been growing his hair out. So now there's, I guess, bets being placed of what Aaron Rodgers is possibly growing his hair out for. So the leading costumes for Aaron Rodgers' Halloween costume is, number one, the dude from The Big Lebowski. Obi-Wan Kenobi, The Joker, Kurt Cobain, The Undertaker, Caitlyn Jenner, AJ Hawk, Joe Exotic, Joe Dirt, Clay Matthews, Jesus, Jack Sparrow, or Alex Trebek.
I swear, if he's Joe
Alex
Exotic.
Trebek. I think they're just trying to be funny because it's Jeopardy. Yeah.
If he's Joe Exotic, my
lord. We shall
lord.
See. Who knows? It is Aaron Rodgers.
I added some to that list.
She did. I like Donna's better.
There is one event happening very soon. It was happening this Sunday, speaking of Halloween, that we wanted to let everyone know about. Obviously, we got to broadcast and promote the PXG Women's Championship. That begins tomorrow, so certainly that's a fun thing. Everyone can get free tickets online at the PXG WMPC.com. But also, for all the junior golfers and future pros, you are invited to a free junior clinic taught by the professional women's players of the PXG Women's Match Play Championship, and you get to take pictures and autographs with the players. Plus, there's a Q&A panel about professional golf life and how to get there if you want to go there. So that is October 31st. That is Sunday. That is Halloween from 2 to 3:30 at the Slammer and Squire driving range at the World Golf Village. Again, pxgwmpc.com. If you have clubs, you can bring those. If not, they will have clubs there courtesy of First Tee North Florida. So that's awesome for everybody who's a junior golfer.
It is. May I tell you this quick grilling story?
Of
this,
course.
Because I know tailgating is going to be a big thing, especially, you know.
Already with RV City, from what I've been told. I haven't been because I was off yesterday and today from First Coast News, but from what I've been told downtown.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
Already the parking lots are starting
to fill.
That's my dream
one day, just to have an RV for a few days. All right, Donna, grilling story.
Okay, picture this. Hubby walks out to the patio. Then he walks outside and he uncovers the grill.
Is this a horror story?
And I hear, holy beep,
moly.
And he comes back inside the patio. And I go, and now I see him laughing. I go, well, I don't expect to hear that word, that phrase. And then you see you laughing. What's going on? He goes, you need to check this out. I go, I don't think I want to check this out. Why do I need to check this out? He goes, come check this out. And so I then turn to my three-year-old. I go, you want to come out back with me? He goes, nope, she needs to stay inside. I go, oh, I don't think I want to check this out then. Come check it out. I'm like, okay. Out I go. The grill is now open. I see on top a lot of nesting in the grill.
Oh.
Clearly, we have not grilled out in quite some time. I go, what is that on top of the grill? He goes, I don't know. I go, what is living in our grill? He goes, I don't know. I go, well, you need to go look. He goes, you go look. I go, no. And so back and forth we go. I said, I am, no, you go look. Because now we see snake skin in the grill.
Oh, boy. This is where I thought I was going.
Is it a snake? He's like, I don't know. I go, well, have fun hunting. And so out he goes because the back of our grill is uncovered.
It's, okay.
You know, we have the front door at the bottom with the propane, but it's unblocked at the back of it. So he walks long ways to be a nice way. And he looks and he's like, phew. I go, okay, I wasn't expecting a phew sign. What is it? He goes, it's a mouse.
Ugh.
With babies.
Still not ideal, but still better than the alligator. I thought this was going for alligator. I was like, gator in there, which there's some sort of Florida Georgia joke there. I'm not from Florida, man. I don't know where they live.
There's no nest. Alligators don't have nests.
I had a gecko in my office on Saturday. So, like, listen, man.
I go,
so what do you do?
Right? I go, how? First, how long has it been since we grilled? One.
Yeah.
Long time.
Bad hubby.
Two. How do we have a mouse with babies living in our grill?
And how do you get it out?
Right. So then I feel bad because he goes, they look brand new. Like the babies are brand stinking new.
Gosh.
So he like bangs on the grill a little bit and nobody's moving. Like he's like, the mama ain't moving with these babies. I'm like, well.
She's like, I've been here longer.
Right.
Oh my God.
I ain't moving.
I go, ain't moving.
Well, we got two dogs. You know, let's see if she's get scared. And I go, well, just leave her be, you know, they're brand new babies.
And you ordered takeout instead.
I said, so now here comes the problem. Okay,
new grill.
I said, I'm not eating off this grill.
Yeah,
right.
I don't care how hot the grill gets and how good you clean it,
we're done.
The mama has made a nest. There is snake skin down here, and now in the nest, by the way, not so alive babies have laid in the nest.
Oh, gosh.
So I said, no, I will happily eat somewhere else. You can eat off this grill if you wish.
We're buying a new grill.
I will not eat off this grill.
So ever
we're
again.
We're at a standstill with the grill on that end. Would you eat off that grill now?
No, I would get a new grill.
Would you eat off that grill now?
I don't.
She's horrible.
She thought about it. She thought about it.
She will eat dead people, Donna.
Because I'm pretty sure that the majority of people's grills that sit outside, creatures have lived in them at some point. Yep. You just clean them.
But see, the full nest, though, is what does it. Depending on where the nest is.
What is on the nest?
I feel like grill and charcoal can be different because the charcoal grill is going to get so hot and there's not enough space for anything to live in there. So
and mama eggs and babies has been careful on the nest.
Yeah, all right, before we get out of here, it is Florida Georgia week. So one final segment or one final topic for tonight, one final feature, I should say. Spencer's JerkandJerky.com has been supporting us for a few months now. So shout out to them. You can get 10% off by using the promo code HEELS at Spencer's JerkandJerky.com. Look for big number 21 Desmond Watson to maybe get in the game and try and block some of those big Georgia offensive linemen on Saturday. My Spencer's Jerk and Jerky fresh take of the week is the fact that Dan Mullen in a press conference said, well, if a few plays had gone a different way, we would be 7-0. I cannot stand when any coach or fan or player uses that line, well, if this had gone a different way. Yeah, if you hadn't been looking at your phone, you wouldn't have run into the back of that person's car. Not Dan Mullen, but just in general. If you had been paying attention, maybe you wouldn't have, you know, murdered the person. No, that's not really a line. But seriously, there are so many things in life. Well, yeah, if you had been doing it differently, then you wouldn't have been in trouble. And so at some point in time, Dan Mullen, again, I'm not calling him a murderer. Just saying at times he's making bad decisions.
If you're just tuning in.
But it is frustrating to be a Florida fan and to watch a coach, I feel like, have the ability to be a really good football coach and then just for a lack of really being willing to have an open mind, make these changes. And whether that's the quarterback, whether that's the defense, at some point in time, if you're a really good elite football coach and you're paid top 10, those are the types of decisions that you're paid to make and to do it perfectly. And so, or at least do it well, if not perfectly. So there you have it. That is Spencer's Jerk and Jerky fresh take of the week. That's a wrap for us, ladies. Happy Florida, Georgia, everybody.
Yeah.
You think your Gators are going to get it done?
I would love to say yes, but I have a bad feeling. I would love to go against my gut, though.
More concerned about the defense struggling against this, like, who knows which quarterback yet, or the offense struggling against that Georgia defense?
I think the defense will get it together because Georgia's offense isn't super explosive. Mm-hmm. They do have a really good tight end, Brack Bowers, really good receiver, and Ladd McConkey. But I'm just nervous that Dan Mullen, with all this overthinking, the offense is just not going to be come out. I feel like it's going to come out and be sputtering versus come out and be explosive at the same time. But we'll see. I hope my gut feeling is wrong. And stay tuned, everybody, for Into the Night with Rick Ballew, for Donna Murphy, for Mia O'Brien, for Taylor Dalton, for RJ Saunders. I'm Lauren Brooks. Enjoy your Florida Georgia weekend. I'ma need to see your feet up, hands at the concert. I'ma need to see your feet up, and the best living or dead, hands down, huh? Let's talk more right now, huh? And my eyes more red than the devil is, and I'm about to take it to another level. Matter who you going with, yeah, ain't nobody cold as this. Do the rap and a track, triple double, no assist. And my only focus is staying on some bogus, arguing with my older.